Call me old man Waves.
Damn you, old man!
Wait.
Old ass man.
Shut up, old man. You smell like fart.
No. Man.
Old man. Wait.
He's so old, he got a podcast on cassette.
Fuck, you're old.
Damn it, Wade.
Yeah. When I originally shaved my head, I told my dad, he goes, oh, I gotta see this. He was waiting to clown. He goes, oh, it actually works for you. He goes, yeah, I was ready to clown you. I was like, this nigga, man.
Yo, this is precisely why it's hard for people to tell the difference when it comes to the animated versions of us on our logos. If you follow the Old Man Wade show on Facebook, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but what's even funnier about it is shout out to the artist who did this.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find him real quick, because the dude is awesome. He on Instagram, he's Jetsetta underscore Tyron, Jetsetta underscore Tyron. Mm. And he's a phenomenal, phenomenal artist, man. So shout out to him for doing our logo.
Thanks.
But he made me look like a comic book character built. You know what I mean? So I was like, all right, I can rock with this. So,
yo, those are some sexy animated dudes. I'm tell you what.
Yeah. He gave me my Hawaiian shirt too. I was like, yeah, buddy. Yeah. So this is the Old Man Wade show. I am your host, the God of Stubb and the Lord of Laughter, the Prince of Petty, Old Man Wade. And I'm sitting with my co-host, the pinnacle of political perfection, the superior super woke hobby.
Also, the man that doesn't listen to Old Man Wade when he's trying to be stubborn.
I was joking. It was
take your medicine.
Yo, so we were at work yesterday having inappropriate conversations. Mm. And you was talking about punching the ticket. And I was like, yo, punch the ticket sounds like when someone asks for anal.
Yeah, I can see that. That makes sense. But what does it mean? Were you on the money?
No, we were talking about, like, literally what it was, like, you know, when you're like, oh, hey, like, you know, you get so many this's and then you get a that, like, jokingly, like, well, I was joking.
Yeah.
But, like, some people in marriage, it's like, well, you can only get this if you do this X amount of times. You know what I mean?
Like brownie points.
Yeah. And as they're talking about it, I'm like, yo, punch a ticket sounds like anal.
I mean, why else do you collect brownie points?
I don't collect brownie points. I just do shit for my wife because I do shit for my wife.
Well, excuse me, Mr. Healthy Relationship with Your Wife.
I'm not going to go that. She hates me, but, you know, it's completely understandable for her to hate me.
I know your wife, and she definitely does not hate you.
Yeah. I wasn't going to... I'm trying not to start with the anger that I had before, but I also want to say, fuck Kevin Sorbo with a bag of hammers. And caveman clubs.
What Hercules do now, huh?
He's fucking a Republican douchebag. That's what he always does, man.
Yeah, I really want to know what Aeolus's political stances are.
Who?
His sidekick.
Is this on the Hercules show?
I mean, what else did Kevin Sorbo do?
He was in an episode of Psych. Yeah, that's all. I know he was Hercules, and I know he was Hercules on the show. He was Hercules in God of War.
Yeah.
And he voiced Hercules in God of War, and he was in an episode of Psych.
Yeah, and he lost Xena to Xena's psychic.
I mean,
Gabrielle definitely pulled that.
Yeah. So I found this Instagram post, right? And I thought it would be kind of funny to do. The thing is, were you emotionally neglected as a child?
Yeah, I read that and I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be very interesting.
So, all right, there are 15 signs. So I'm going to start with number one. Mm-hmm. You assumed the carer position for your siblings. Well, this isn't, or even your parents. You don't have any siblings, but I've been there. Thoughts on that?
I mean, I've seen it happen. I can't really relate to that particular thing, but yeah, keep going. I got thoughts.
I feel like you have an amazing mom, so I don't think this really concerns you. So,
I mean, I guess.
You grew to believe your needs don't matter because no one demonstrated they did.
Okay.
Again, I feel like your mother was like emotionally supportive, so that, again, not you.
You think so?
I don't know. I don't know the inner workings.
You know, single black mom growing up in the projects her husband leaving her, all types of craziness. Yeah.
Never mind, you're right.
had to work with white women in the 90s.
In Boston.
All right, keep going.
You didn't develop compassion for yourself. All right. when does that one happen?
Shit.
the only time I develop compassion for myself is when I'm on X videos.
Yeah, I would say, like, yo, I love myself sometimes.
During challenging times, you learn to self-soothe alone.
All right. Higgity. Yo, is this like all about masturbation? Because I'm getting that vibe. But go ahead.
Oh man. Oh yeah, because I pretty much self-soothe when I can't sleep.
Yeah. You develop... Sorry.
You developed an extreme level of self-sufficiency. This is all about masturbation.
Yeah. This is all a dirty joke. All right.
You feel a deep sense of emptiness slash a craving for a connection that was never satisfied.
Yo, because I refuse to buy that premium account, bro.
this is really supposed to be a serious topic, but this is even funnier. You struggle to receive love because it feels unfamiliar.
Yeah. I mean, my hand feels pretty familiar, but go ahead.
You don't share your feelings because you grew up squashing them down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You weren't praised for kindness.
In a sock. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
You weren't praised for the kindness / help you gave others. You grew up with and got used to an imbalance of give and take.
Okay.
You feel an excessive responsibility for others' emotions. You feel like who are you is inherently flawed / not enough. You struggle to express your emotions, have limited vocabulary. That's not true. I know what Futanari is. You feel you've never had a...
In bukkake.
Is it bukkake or bukkake?
I don't speak Japanese.
You feel you've never had a safe space to be authentically you. I'm just developing that now, like with my wife. So, I didn't understand that until, like, you know.
I think you create your own safe spaces. To be honest with you, I think you saying that means that for me, and I could be wrong. I'm probably wrong. I feel like just knowing you, I feel like you've become comfortable enough to create your own safe spaces.
And number 15, you fear being dependent on anyone. That's definitely not me. Mm-mm. And it ends with you're worthy of love and support, even if you didn't receive this in your childhood. And I got this post from the Real Depression Project on Instagram. It was really dope. It was a really dope thing to read because honestly, I related to a lot of the things we just mentioned.
Yeah, me too.
So I get it.
I feel like a really sad but privileged white kid from the suburbs wrote that shit, to be honest with you.
Because a lot of this is stuff that we deal with in the hood on a regular basis.
Yo, just like, and honestly, bro, like, yo, our parents don't know what they're doing, bro. Like, our parents grew up to become parents. And I understand that there was some really, there's a lot of really traumatic experiences that people went through.
I don't want to gloss over that, but that statement was really deep.
Yo, it's facts.
Our parents grew up to be parents. That's super.
Yeah,
deep.
Or they might not have. But at the end of the day, look at us, look at us and how we struggle. You know what I mean? Now picture that we're having to raise our dumbasses, the dumbass shit we used to do. You know what I'm saying? Not saying we deserved a lot of the shit that happened to us at the hands of some really shitty parents. But yo, what the fuck? Like, no, there's no perfect situation. The only perfect situation is if you were born, I think, honestly, if you were lucky, or if you were born to older parents that already had, like, 5 kids already. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's about it. Other than that, yo, it's fucking rolling the dice. my dude. Like, and you gotta, sometimes we have to grow up and realize that, like, you know, I think.
I mean, we can honestly take it a step further, because even with that roll of the dice, you see how it is, because sometimes even when you do think you grow up in an ideal situation, there's a lot of neglect that goes on there. Like, I know, I don't That's know if factual. You know her. I don't know if you know her, and I'm not going to say her name on here, but I used to know a woman who was nannying. Mm-hmm. And she nannies for a really, really rich couple. Mm-hmm. And she was saying that while she was taking care of the kid, the mother was upstairs painting. And I'm like, so the mother didn't work? She goes, no, she just painted. I'm like, the fuck was the point of her having a kid then? But then I have to remember that sometimes that's the only, that they feel like that's the way to stay in a relationship. You know what I mean?
Or maybe she likes painting. What the fuck? She got money to pay for a nanny. Be a nanny.
Yeah, with your kid. Be with your kids. Raise your fucking kids.
I mean, I'm saying this as somebody without kids, but I don't even, man. I don't know. I grew up in the projects. I don't give a fuck. Yo, I'm gonna be like, and my mom was great. But at the same time, and I talked to my counselor, my shrink, I'm still dealing with a lot of, like,
oh god,
stuff that developed in my youth. You know what I'm saying? Like, because of my relationship with my mom, because of my relationship with other people. You know, I mean, and at the end of the day, I still love my mom. Because I know for a fact she wasn't as bad as a lot of these, nowhere near as bad as a lot of these stories that I'm hearing now. So I get older, and I talk to people about the way they were brought up. Like, I feel fortunate. And I do. I feel like I have a sense of privilege based on the family that I had. But at the end of the day, she did not know what she was doing. And it's clear to me, the older I get, I'm like, yo, she was in her 20s, raising me by herself. Of course she made mistakes.
It's funny you say that, because for a while, like, I could actually, the more I look at it, like, my little brother and sister, well, my little brother specifically was raised by me when I didn't even live with him. Mm. When he was in high school. But at a certain, from his junior senior year, I was the one his counselor was calling when there was a meeting. I was the one his counselor was calling when he was having issues in school. I was his emergency contact. Yeah. When he went to South Africa. It was me.
Oh, damn.
And when we, and for the first 13, maybe 15 years of his life, I was the one on my days off, like on Saturdays and Sundays, I was the one getting up to watch him. On my days off, I was the one getting up and watching him. Mm. And this was before, and like, there were days where, like, I was like, yo, I got to get up and go to work. He's like, all right, well, I'm going to go to sleep for 2 hours. I'm like, well, I have to be I was like, I need an extra couple hours sleep for work. I'm like, no, you don't. I'm going to sleep for 2 hours. You get up and watch your brother for 2 hours. But I was like, dog, like, if you didn't want to watch these fucking kids, then don't have fucking kids. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not how, like, I wasn't born I wasn't born to raise kids. I don't want kids. The reason I don't fucking have them. Mm. But, and like, then after I left, my little sister all but raised herself, because all my parents did was just like, oh, take them to and from work. And it was like, they were emotionally, like, I shouldn't say emotionally stunted, but like, they didn't get the emotional support, because my little brother and sister are in tune with their emotions, more so maybe than I was.
Yeah.
But they didn't receive the kind of care that they should have gotten, because my parents, for whatever reason, just couldn't give it to them. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And if I've said this before, and I will continuously say this, my parents should not have had kids. Mm. Period. They're not the people who should have had kids. My father probably could have had a kid with another woman,
yeah,
but not with my mother. My mother, and she's not a good person, and I have no qualms saying that.
Mm.
She's done deplorable things that I won't mention on the show without my siblings present, but it's horrible. But and so it's funny listening to the way she said she was raised, and I can't say yay or nay, you know what I mean? Because I don't know what she went through, my mother went through. Mm. So I can't say what the trauma was that she had to deal with when she was my age, or when she was younger. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But when you bring a child, when you decide to bring a child into this world, like, that shit kind of goes out the window.
You know what I mean? It should.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not emotionally, I don't think I would ever be emotionally prepared to have a child. So I just didn't. I don't want kids. I don't want that responsibility. So I made the adult decision to decide I don't want kids. I wanted them once upon a time. Yeah. But after like raising my little, like after like all the time of getting up early and doing all this stuff, it was like, you know what? This is not the life I want.
Yeah. But that's also a judgment call too, though, right? Like you're making that judgment based on how you feel you'll be as a parent, which is rational and understandable. But I think also there are people, and I've seen it, that once they have a kid and that responsibility hits them, they switch up. They switch all the way up in a good way. Mm-hmm. But I've also some of the best parents in the world. So I think you have a valid point. But also I think that, you know, sometimes mistakes happen. I'm pro-choice and all that. But also if people do decide to have a kid,
and I'm pro my vaccination. I'm pro my vasectomy.
Yeah, like all that. Yeah, I support all that. Like people shouldn't have kids if they really know they're not ready. But at the same time, if mistakes do happen, you know, you might not be pro-choice. You might believe like you need to bring a child to the term, no matter what. I'm
pro whatever the woman decides to do. Like it's not my body. I don't make that decision. Like it's one of those, you know, it's one of those things when they go, like we had this conversation before on a previous podcast about a lot of topics aren't something that a cis male should interject themselves in.
You think so?
I don't know. I don't know what to do with like a woman. It's a woman's body, and I also have heard stories about what abortions do to a woman's body as well as their mental health.
Well, I understand when you say you shouldn't make a choice for a woman when it comes to that. I definitely agree to that. But you feel like you can't have a conversation about abortion. Like,
no, that's not what I'm saying. Yeah. I think when it comes down to a final decision, it's not mine.
Oh yeah, that's
right. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you should be able to not have a discussion about things.
Yeah.
I also feel that like certain people aren't, and certain people aren't mature enough to have these conversations, aren't mentally prepared enough to have these conversations. And on the flip side of that, they're not mentally prepared for the answers and not mature enough for the answers.
Because that's the thing though. We're adults. And that's like,
I'm going to stop you right there because you're using common sense and logic in a situation where common sense and logic doesn't work.
No, I get that. What I'm trying to say is that like I don't give people not being ready or feeling that they're not being ready as an excuse. Like I'm, you know, like me and my wife, we've been waiting. You know, we've been waiting for what we feel is the optimal time. But if things happen, I have a job now, but if I need to make more money, please believe I'll be doing some Uber. Please believe I'll be doing whatever I can to provide, mm-hmm. you know, what I gotta provide, right? So and that's how. And again, that's not necessarily a lesson I learned directly from my mom, even though I saw her work all the time, but it's just the people I decided to, a lot of the dudes that I grew up with, the dudes that continue to be my friends today, like, yo, they're serious people in my eyes. Like I couldn't look at my people and tell them like, yo, I'm a deadbeat dad. Like, you know, they might beat me up. You know what I'm saying? So like, I don't know, man. Like if you, and like you say, like it's the woman's choice. So if you get a girl, if you get a woman pregnant, and she decides to have the baby, what are you going to do? You know, like, you can be like, well, I'm not ready. Like, I don't know. Or are you going to realize that you helped bring a life to the world? You need to do what you need to step up your game, bro. If you need to get some counseling, go get some counseling to deal with some emotional trauma that we all deal with. Cause we all fucking deal with emotional trauma. Cause mm-hmm. growing up in this country, in this world fucking sucks. You know, it sucks a lot more for others, but in general, it fucking sucks. So you got some trauma, deal with that. And do what you need to do. And again, you know me, I'm real. I'm really not that politically correct, you know, for real. So I'm going to say it like this. Be a fucking man. Man up.
I don't even think you can be politically correct with a situation like that. Because
what it comes
down to is like you have to man the fuck up. There are certain things you have to do. Like you're a hustler. Like I remember when you were in school and you were doing fucking 80 hours of Uber fucking week. Like,
I do it.
You know what I mean? Like, it was like, oh, optimal time, cool, I'm gonna do that. And shit, like, when you were working your current job, you were still Ubering for a little while, and she was just like, I don't need to do this. And it wasn't until you were like, I don't need to do this anymore, that you decided to stop.
Yeah, I'm just getting out of survival mode. I'm still kind of trying to figure shit out, to be honest with you. And I'm, shoot, and I got a 401k with shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't
deal with no excuses. But there's a lot that goes into that too, because I really don't think that people grasp the concept of responsibility.
No, they really don't.
I would love to show up at work late, leave early, not do my job, complain about this, and then call out the next day. But I don't necessarily have the luxury of doing that for multiple reasons. And chief among the reasons why I don't do it is because I'm just not that person. You know what I mean? I watch my dad rarely call out. I watch my dad work 16-hour shifts. Like, you know what I mean? So for me, it's a little different. But then, like, even beyond my parents, like, my wife busts her ass. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if she can do that with all the stuff going on with her, there's no reason. Well, if she could do that when she could work with all the stuff going on, there's no reason why I can't as well. You know what I mean? Sure, I take mental health days, because there are literally days where, in the profession I work with, if I'm not mentally prepared to do what I need to do, then I shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just my life in the scenario. You know what I mean? So the idea of maturity with people, I think, is different from the way we look at it, as opposed to the way other people do, especially because how we've lived growing up, the color of our skin, the color of the people, of the skin of the people around us, the cultures that we know, it's different. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my mother used to call my dad the hardest working broke man she's ever met in her life.
There's a lot of those.
Yeah, but like, he busts his ass. Like, you know what I mean? He still busts his ass. So anyway,
I'm gonna have to edit out your butt cheek.
That's me. They can have the glorious butt cheek if they want. But yeah, the idea of just people just being mature is, I really feel, a foreign thing, because everyone feels that one of the reasons I think that traffic sucks as much as it does, and the reason we have as many fucked up things as we've seen, is because I truly believe everyone feels that what they have going on, excuse me, is more important than the next person. Like, I've been in a car with my wife, and people won't move for an ambulance, or will just keep driving, and it's like, dog, their sirens are on. Like, the lights are blaring. They're not just doing it just to do it. Get the fuck out of the way. But no, I'm going to keep going, and I'm not going to pay attention to them, because whatever I have going on is way more important than another person. It's like, that's not how life works. You know what I mean? Like, if I see a pregnant woman on a train or the bus, I'm getting the fuck up.
Yo, move, man.
Yeah, move. Like watching that shit, it's fucking nasty. Like, I probably told a story on the show before, but whatever. I used to get on the bus and on a train, and I'd find me a quiet little spot, and I'd pass right the fuck out. Hood on, arms folded, sleeping. And one day, I happen to wake up. I look up and I see a pregnant woman. I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Do you want the seat? I'm like, you can have it. And I'm standing. She goes, no, no, no. She goes, no, no, no. And looks at everybody else and he goes, you're fine. Because she must have been standing for a while. And like, I immediately popped up, because I didn't even see her. Like, I didn't even see what the fuck was going on. Like, you know what I mean? But no one else would offer this woman a seat.
Did you offer this? Did she take the seat?
No, because I think she must have been getting off at the next stop. I think she was either next stop or stop after, but she was like just taken aback at the fact that like no one else would bother to give her a seat. And I felt bad, and didn't even see it. I was knocked the fuck out. I was having to wake up.
Well, to circle back to what started this conversation in the first place is that, you know, whether or not your parents, you were neglected by your parents or some shit. I think that speaks to the type of personality that I think would write something like that. And again, I understand people relating to it, because I relate to a lot of it too. It kind of gave me like horoscope vibes, where like it's just a bunch of general shit that everybody goes through. But I think certain individuals, they look at their lives and what they're feeling, and they think that they're the only ones feeling it, or yeah. you know, something in particular happened to just them, or people just like them that you know, and no, like this, that's life. That is life. And to be honest with you, if that's the only shit you're dealing with, yo, it's pretty good.
So it was funny. Joe Budden has his freestyle, and we were talking about this, and it goes, had a talk with my ex, and then for certain I was bugged. So I let the door slam, feeling worse than I was. She said all I ever made it feel was hurt and disgust, which in turn hurt because that was my version of love. You know what I mean? Like the idea of like that being like his version of love, like, you know what I mean? And even if it's just something clever for like the line, I know, like, we've heard the stories of people who affiliate hurt and pain with love, like people who had abusive parents, or their first loved one, or their first like love was abusive, and that's how they what's the word I'm looking for? And that's how they
experience love, or experience connection with people.
And that's how they develop connection with people. Yeah. Love is like through like hurt and pain and things like that. Yeah. It's weird, man. Love is just one of those topics that you, and as cliche as it sounds, you can't really define it. Like when you know, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like that whole idea of just the way, like looking back at like how you were raised and like the people you came in contact with, and I mean even like your first heart, like your, how like the how much the negative things really influence your life going forward more than the good times. You know what I mean? Because a lot of things, like, and I'll just speak for myself, because a lot of the mistakes I made and make influence the person that I am.
Yeah.
And continue to be, as opposed to really like the positive things, like the writing and the podcasting and like, you know, continuously to do better. Those are the ones that really affect who I am going forward. And it's just kind of funny that we focus more on a negative than we do on a positive. Like even that list, like, you know what I mean? Like, why did that one speak to me more than a list that was like, you know, 15 ways to show that you weren't emotionally stunted? Like, you know, but I guess because like I kind of was emotional, like me and my siblings were talking about how they can't remember our father saying "I love you," but that's just like, you know, how you were raised.
Yeah.
I am a very emotional creature. I say, like, if I love somebody, I tell them I love them. If I appreciate somebody, I tell them I appreciate them. That's just who I am. But that's also not something. I don't know if I really, my mother was kind of with it, but it kind of dissipated as time went on. My little brother was emotional, so I think a lot of it was rekindled when I was watching him. And then like a couple of my exes, well, one of my exes in particular was really big on "I love you." You know what I mean? So my wife is big on "I love you." So that emotional part of me was kind of was watered.
Hey, old man.
What up?
I just want you to know.
I swear to God, don't do it.
Oh man.
What?
I love you.
Damn it, Wade.